Say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring your greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to see each one of you here today. I want to welcome the visitors that are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be together again today. It's another beautiful day to live and serve the Lord. And yeah, it's just a good day to be able to come to the Lord's house. And I was thinking, it was just yesterday I read about one of the articles I was reading as I was finishing up my studying, is something about when you fellowship together, it's almost like you come and sit and you can relax. You know, when you're out in the world from day to day and time to time, you know, you're facing adversity, you're facing temptation, you're facing all kinds of things. And when you come together to worship, you can sit down, and it's I forget how they painted a picture of sitting down at a big family meal where you talk together and communicate together, and you leave the worries and cares of the world behind. And I'm just thankful that we can do that this morning. Appreciated the service so far and the challenge Brother Roger gave us there with his scripture reading. And I think that verse came to my mind, or passage of scripture where it talks about one planting and another watereth and another seeth the increase. And you know, we don't know what seeds we plant that may result in salvation for somebody someday, and maybe even some that we don't even know about. Yeah, we might on this side of heaven. Also, this morning we did finish up our last New Believers class with James and Marley. It was good to be a part of that, and the lesson was on heaven, the future things, and it was just a joy again to reflect and ponder on the real reason that we're here and living life is to look forward to being in heaven someday. This morning I was thinking about what to share as a Sunday. Next Sunday would be Christmas Sunday, or we think of it as Christmas Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas. What do we share the week before that? So I was thinking about that and beginning to study earlier in the week. I was seeing a couple different articles that kind of caught my mind, because I was felt led to bring the message on living for Jesus. One of the articles I seen was titled "Living for Jesus in the Real World." Some of the comments I make here at the beginning might not be necessarily directly related to the message, but yet it kind of shaped where our thinking come from, or where my thinking come from, and I felt led to share this morning. Excuse me. As the years go by, I become more and more aware of how we need to reflect Jesus to the world around us. You know, as you're young and you think about, you become a Christian, you think about that from time to time. But as you begin to get older, and you think of, and I don't count myself to be that old yet, but it seems like people that are 60 don't seem very old anymore. And when I was young, people that were 60 seemed really, really old. So that scares me some days. But anyway, that's another point. But as I live from day to day and get older, and you think about, why are we really here? What are we leaving behind? Or, you know, I think I shared one time recently on a message something about leaving a legacy. What are we going to be remembered by? I recently asked a question, as we think of Christmas, what does Christmas mean to you? And what are you showing the world by the things we do and say around Christmas? One of the quotes I've seen with some of the reading I did this week, it said, "A life you live is the lesson you teach." Think about that for a minute. The life you live is the lesson you teach. What are we showing others, or what are we teaching others by how we live and the things we do? A song came to my mind of "Somebody Follows You, Watching the Things You Do." I think it's been quite a while since I sang that song, but I still remember most of it. All of us have somebody following us and watching the things we do. Title of the message this morning is simply "Living for Jesus." Think of life in general. Think of living for Jesus. Think of how our life reflects to others. Sometimes in our Christian service or church life, we can get so busy that we miss the most important things in life. One of the most important things that we need to remember is that we are living for the Lord, and we need to worship Him and hear from Him. Sometimes I wonder if we don't get so consumed in work, whether it's work-related or church work, whether it's kingdom-building work, that we miss out on worship. As I was studying for this message, and I was coming to the conclusion of the message, or I'd say conclusion, wrapping up my notes and studying, I thought, you know, I believe this message, I needed this message probably more than anybody here this morning. I'll say just briefly, the last 6 months has been very intense for me as personally, as well as some in our family, with my mom moving to a nursing home and cleaning out her house this fall, just a lot of things related to that. And it just seemed like some days you went from one thing to the next thing that needed done. And after a while you were like, what's really getting done? Even though a lot of things were, but you felt like you were maybe getting pulled from every direction. And sometimes we can be that way. But sometimes we get so focused on what we need to do, and a lot of it is good things that need to be done, whether it's ministry, whether it's church work, whether it's the work for the Lord, whether it's our jobs, but sometimes we get so consumed and overwhelmed with life that we forget why we're doing the things we do in the first place. It is important to work for the Lord. Scripture tells us that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So I want to be careful that we don't walk away from here saying, well, we need to just all worship. And yes, we do, but we do need to do the work of the Lord. We do need to labor, and sometimes that gets heavy, sometimes it gets toilsome, sometimes it gets burdensome, but we need to continue on. Four things we need to always remember: that the Lord desires our service to Him. He wants us to do our things for Him. The second thing is, He delights in our service to Him. The third thing is, He deserves our service to Him. And the fourth thing is, He asks and almost demands our service to Him. There is no doubt that we could all do more for the Lord, but the thoughts we want to look at this morning is more about timing. There is a time for us to work, but there is also equally important for us to take time to listen to the Lord and worship Him. This morning for a text, we want to look at one of the accounts of Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, here this morning. If you will turn with me at this time, the main text we'll be looking at is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he is referring to Jesus. He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Kind of a few short verses, but there's a lot in these verses we can look at and draw some parallels or some things that we can have for our lives today. Three things we want to think about as we go throughout the message is, the first one is listening to Jesus, the second is laboring for Jesus, and the third one is living for Jesus, which was our title, the message this morning. First part we'll be looking at is laboring for the Lord. As we begin here, let's not forget that both of these women were faithful followers of Jesus. When you read the story of Lazarus' resurrection, they were both close to Jesus, and He loved them both very much. It's also the time that we have recorded in Scripture that Jesus wept whenever He came, when Lazarus has died. So we know that they were very close people, close, dear people to Him. John 11:5 brings out the fact too, and it's in the middle of the count where Lazarus was rose from the dead, but where he had died and was rose from the dead. But it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which was Mary, and Lazarus. We know that Jesus had a close relationship with him. The thing I'm wanting us to get here, that both of them were very dear to Jesus. Both of them were followers of His. Both of them were ones that had done a lot of great work for the kingdom. And there was no question that both of these women loved the Lord. In Scripture, every time their names are mentioned, it is very apparent that they loved Jesus. You know, we think about what we see here in the beginning part of our the text here this morning. You know, when Martha had invited or had Jesus there in her home, I believe it's, if we think about the whole story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, it is believed that Martha was a widow and that Mary and Lazarus lived with her. So it would have been somewhat as Martha's house, so she would have felt responsible when a guest came into her house. But think about it for a little bit. You know, if you invite a guest into your home, you're going to prepare for them. You're going to do things that need to be done, you know, and that's what Martha was doing. And think about the picture here just a little bit. Let's say you invite somebody over for lunch or for a meal, and everybody else goes and sits in the room and lets you, you're the lady of the house, whoever you are, Lisa, Marianne, Rosanna, Lois, April, whoever you are here this morning, the wife or lady of the house. If you're there doing all the work and everybody else goes and sits in the room, you're going to be a little bit like, okay, come on here. I could use a little bit of help. So we don't want to paint her as doing something that didn't need to be done. She was preparing for them and needed to get things done. But think about that just a moment. Sometimes we get so focused on our service or the things that we need to do that we ignore the process, or we ignore him, Jesus, in the process. And that's what we see happening to Martha here. She was thrilled to have Jesus into her home. Like we said before, she had a good relationship with Jesus and had done many good things for him. But we see also that she wanted Mary to help get some of the things done that needed to be done before they sat down to visit. One of the things we want to point out here, or think about, that with Martha was so wrapped up in the things that needed to be done, she was missing enjoying his presence. And we see that there in the beginning of verse 40, where it talks about Martha was cumbered about with much serving. But the word cumbered means to be drawn in many different ways at the same time. In other words, there was a lot of things that needed to be done. Imagine you're having a really busy day and you just got this and this. You got 10 things to do in a short amount of time, and you're scurrying around trying to get every one to make sure they all happen properly. That's kind of the picture that is painted here of what is happening. Martha was at a place where she knew what needed to be done, but there was so much to do that she didn't even know where to start. And while all of this was going on, Mary was sitting on the floor at the feet of Jesus. And we see that Martha was not really happy with that, as we said before. And we see that in the rest of verse 40, where she's saying, came to Jesus and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she may help me." In other words, she's saying, "Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me to get the work done that needs to be done." In a moment, we'll look at Jesus' reply, but there's so much, I believe, that we can learn here from Martha in these couple verses. First of all, her desire to serve the Lord was commendable. We don't want to take away from that in the midst of this story. Her devotion to do what needed to be done was admirable. And also, the frustration she felt at her sister at that moment was somewhat understandable. One commentator on this verse said it like this: "We need more people in the church today who are willing to serve like Martha served." In other words, give it everything you've got and put forth effort. But we want to look at some more. And part two we want to look at is listening to Jesus. There are many positive points we could look at from Martha's point of view. But if you look at what Jesus says here, we see that there was a little bit of error in how she was thinking. We see that in verse 41, and then it'd be first phrase in 42. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." In other words, thou art careful or worried and troubled about many things. Then he says there at the first phrase in verse 42, "is one thing, but one thing is needful." Jesus was addressing the fact that Martha, even though she was doing what needed to be done, she was troubled and distracted. The thing that Martha was concerned about weren't the most important to Jesus. I don't think that Jesus was telling her that what she was doing was wrong or wasn't important, but he was telling her that that's not the most important thing in life. I had to think just a little bit there, you know. Well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but I'll go ahead and share it now. You know, if we're not careful to sit down and commune and worship and hear at the feet of Jesus, many times we won't have the strength and the courage we need to do the task that Jesus has for us to do. So it is very important to stop and ponder and hear and reflect on who Jesus is and what he has for us in life. Where are you at today? Are you so busy with life that you forget to worship and hear from the Lord? Sometimes some people get so busy with life that they burn out and crash and then begin to wonder what happened. I can think of several instances in the last couple years where that happened to men that were in the ministry, where they just would go and go and go, and they got to the point where they were burnt out, and they just didn't know what happened and didn't understand why it happened as it did. But one thing we need to remember is that we need to have a proper balance. If we don't have the proper balance, we will end up serving the Lord on our own strength, and that is one thing that we will never last very long if we try to do. We need to remember that God is our source of strength. If we think about the story here just a little bit, Mary was so busy with life that she was missing Jesus' visit to her own home. You know, and I know when you have guests over, there's certain things, especially if it's for a meal, there's certain things need to be done, but there's nothing, I guess I thought about it like this, you know, if you had guests over and the lady of the house was flurrying around getting everything done, and then you called everybody to the table, and everything had to be just exactly the way it should be, and, you know, making this dish and that dish and everything else that goes along with serving meals sometimes. But as the meal got over, and if everybody, well, we got to go home now, and you pretty much missed visiting or missed communicating with the people. And I think that's what was happening to Martha here, and sometimes can happen in our own lives. She was so busy with what needed to be happening and what needed to get done that she was missing visiting or communing with Jesus in her own home. Serving the Lord is a very important part of the Christian life. We don't want to downplay that in any way, shape, or form. If we didn't have anybody willing to do the work of the church wouldn't continue on. So that needs to happen. But along with that, we must have some alone time or quiet time with the Lord. Time when we commune with him and understand, helps us understand who he is, how much he cares for us, how much he loves us, how much he wants from us. We must set aside a time to talk to the Lord and quiet ourselves and wait patiently before him. And that there in and of itself could be a message in and of its own of waiting and hearing from the Lord. It is important that we listen to the Lord. In verse 39 there in our text, we see that that's what Mary was doing as she sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. It says, yeah, that's what it says there, which Mary, her sister, was there also and sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Thinking a little bit about that, let's think just briefly again about the compare Martha and Mary's actions for a moment. Martha was cumbered about working and worrying nonstop, we could say, while Mary was sitting comforted at Jesus' feet. Martha was concerned with preparing physical food, but Mary was getting fed spiritually. Martha was willing to work for the Lord, but Mary was just wanting to be near to him. You know, I thought just a little bit more about that, too. You know, if we're working and working and just overloaded with the work we are doing, we get so heavy and burdened with that we forget sometimes to stop and hear from the Lord and worship him and commune with him and spend time in quietness. And after a while, life just gets heavy and you feel the burden. But many times if we take that, there was one day, and this just came to me, but one day this fall I got up and I was just feeling like the whole weight of the world was on my shoulders. And there was just so much that needed to happen that day. I don't even remember what all needed to happen. There was a lot of other stuff going on. And I took an extra 15 or 20 minutes, I think it was that morning, just reading scripture and praying. And it was interesting how when I got up from that and got done praying, I felt like 100 pounds had been taken off of my shoulders. But yet I still had the same amount of work to do that day, but nothing changed in that aspect. But the whole day went light, was way lighter. And I thought about that as I was putting down some of these notes and thoughts. And, you know, if we take the time we need to hear from the Lord and pray and commune with Him, the rest of our work that needs to be done many times is way lighter and way easier. We need to have a proper balance. Thinking about some things we can learn at the feet of Jesus, or when we quiet ourselves before Him. And this isn't all, this was some that I found somewhere, not all of it was, but some of it was. The first thing is information, who He is and what He expects from us and wants from us. Instruction, how to live, the do's and don'ts of life. Correction, and I wrote this one down, ouch, that one hurts. How many of us like to be corrected? But God knows when we need corrected. God knows when we need sometimes stopped in our tracks. He corrects us when we are wrong. We could turn to many different scripture. I won't take time to, but if you're writing notes down, two would be Proverbs 3:12. Another one would be Hebrews 12:6, talks about correction, the Lord loving us and correcting us. The fourth thing is, thinking about what we learn at the feet of Jesus, is direction. He points us in the right direction and shows us where we need to go. So a couple things to think about as we come to the close here this morning. As we think about living for Jesus. First of all, what are we showing the world around about us in our lives? Are we showing them who God is and how much He loved us, how much He cares for us, and how much He wants a relationship with us? Are we showing them other things by the things we do and say as we go through life? A couple verses thinking about some of this. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, let us not give up in serving the Lord, regardless of what we face. A couple more verses thinking about living for the Lord as we wrap this up. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. You know, here again, thinking about hearing from the Lord, if we are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We need to take time to hear from the Lord. We need to set our affection on things above. You know, what happens when we get distracted by the weight and the cares of this world? We start thinking about everything around about us instead of looking to the Lord for guidance and direction and strength. There's a lot more we could think about as we think about some of this. But a couple things to think come to the close here is thinking again about Martha and Mary. How much they both loved the Lord, how much they both served Him. But yet, we need to keep everything in a proper perspective of hearing from the Lord to be able to continue on. It's a question to think for each one of us to think about. Where are we at this morning? Are we hearing from the Lord? Are we gaining our strength from Him? Are we putting on the new man and seeking and setting our affection on the things of heaven? One of the questions that keeps going through my mind, and it keeps getting more and more as time goes on, is what is your life revealing to others around you? That question in and of itself should make us want to do right. You know, in our, here again, some couple thoughts that are just coming to me, but you know, at the end of our life, we're going to be in heaven or hell. Everything we've done, I think it's Solomon talks about everything being vanity. Everything is vanity. And you know, all of his hard work is all vanity other than what he's done for the Lord. And everybody we meet, is going to either be in heaven or hell. Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp that, and it's really hard for us to grasp eternity as being forever. You know, everything in life has an end. You know, we start school at 5 or 6 years old. We get done with schooling. We get a job. We get married. Our children are born if the Lord has blessed us in that way. They get older. They start going on their own. So everything, every stage of life as we know it has an ending. We all know we're going to die someday. That's inevitable. So it's hard for us to grasp that eternity is going to be forever. And as we think about this whole thing that we're talking about this morning of hearing from the Lord and living for Jesus and of our lives being a reflection of Him, are we pointing others to Christ? I guess it's a thing that keeps coming and going through my mind through some of this. Is our life a reflection of Jesus, and are we pointing others to Christ? It's a lot more that could be said, but I guess we'll let it at that. So we think of this Christmas season again. And I guess this is kind of what got my mind thinking on this and started doing some reading on some of this and some articles I'd started finding is, what are we really showing people throughout Christmas? Are we showing them that we are remembering, and not only remembering, but honoring Jesus when He came to this earth as a baby and the things we do over Christmas time? Or are we getting so, and I'm not against gifts, I'm not against decorating for Christmas, things along that nature to a certain degree. But are we really revealing to others that we are really worshiping Jesus as we go through this season? Those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.